free-range organic leather interior, DVD players at each seat, room for eight in the back, a patio, hot tub, and four-hole golf course in the trunk, a car big enough to live in, drive in luxury with the new 2004 Comedy O-Rama.
The Comedy O-Rama Hour presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, the honest and true memoirs of a non-entity. Episode 13, Sherlock Holmes Gets Out of Trouble.
Before I get down to cases, let me say that the recent outpour of fraudulent Sherlock Holmes books has annoyed me severely. Why, in the past month, no less than three such publications have crept into the bookstalls, each claiming on the title page to be recently discovered manuscripts reprinted from the reminiscences of the late John H. Watson, M.D. Well, first of all, I am Dr. John Watson. And second, I'm not dead. Oh, why, even Holmes himself could deduce as much, if he were here. At this moment, he is in some retirement village in Sussex, getting a stinger transplant for his killer bee, Murray. At any rate, the story I wish to relate, I can assure you, is an original. One which I personally scrawled in the dim glow of my oil lamp, and simply never thought it interesting enough to cause me to trudge all the way over to the print shop. Now, however, with my name being illegally printed on everything from pamphlets on the common cold to racing forms, and incidentally my lawyers are looking into the matter at this very moment, I have decided to bring this Sherlock Holmes adventure out of the closet, in more ways than one. Since the pages which lie before me now were put in from my hand in such dim light, and they were written so many years ago, you can well imagine how little sense they make to me now, just unrecognizable scribbles and the like. I shall venture, however, to decipher this mess, and report it in the illustrious fashion to which my multitudinous readers have become accustomed. There was a pounding rain outside our lodgings at 221B Baker Street the night in question. It was the sort of night that makes one curl up with a good set of lantern slides and a cup of Mrs. Hudson's delicious hot toddies, which is what I did. Holmes was busy filling his Persian slippers with Jamaican tobacco, a habit of his which exasperated me to no end. He came clumping down the hall with his feet stuck in two great pipes, as he said.
Watson, come quick. I want to show you something.
Holmes, why in heaven's name are you wearing those pipes on your feet?
Well, these floors are cold.
Well, if you wouldn't insist on keeping your tobacco in your slippers, you might be able to wear them sometime.
That's very clever, Watson. I never thought of that. Oh, but I couldn't. You see, it's all part of my latest analysis on tobacco ash.
Well, that's nice.
I'm glad you asked.
But I didn't.
Didn't what?
Ask.
No, but I cleverly deduced, by the ball of sweat beneath your chin, the second one, that you were dying to hear about my experiment.
quite.
I have discovered, Watson, that for every square inch of Jamaican tobacco I place in my Persian slippers, I can smoke that same tobacco 3 minutes longer.
So?
Well, don't you see, Watson? The slippers keep the tobacco fresh, and, as everyone knows, moist tobacco takes longer to burn than dry, stale tobacco.
I think I'll go over to the transom and watch the puddles form outside.
Oh, yes. Wait! There's more. And keeping the tobacco in the slippers gives that same tobacco a much more hardy, robust flavor, probably due to the fact that the slippers have never been washed, and thus increasing one smoking pleasure by tenfold. What is that strange expression on your face, Watson? Are you making a mental note to give cursory mention to tobacco ash when you write up your next adventure about me?
No, my dear fellow. It was gas.
Too many of those hot toddies again. I told you so, Watson. You're addicted to those things.
Oh, and what is that white powder you're always stuffing up your nose, Holmes, eh?
Well, that's different. I use it to clear my sinus condition.
Poppycock.
Watch your dogmatic tongue.
Did Mrs. Hudson bring up the mail earlier?
Don't forget, we're mid-Victorian.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. It was just a flash of inspiration.
Well, I would conjecture that Mrs. Hudson forgot to bring up the mail, since the letterbox appears to be quite empty.
Not so fast, Watson. Mrs. Hudson is always extremely prompt.
When asking for the rent, at any rate.
So then there wasn't any mail left for us today. If there had been, she wouldn't have brought it up, and the letterbox would not be empty.
If that was food for thought, I'm not hungry.
What do you mean?
Holmes, ever since I told you what a deduction was, you've been making one after another without any regard for reasoning or logic.
But that's not true. I am a brilliant consulting defective. Detective.
You were right the first time. Holmes. Look what you wrote yesterday. The Art of Deduction. A Treatise by Sherlock Holmes. I quote, "Eliminate the impossible, and whatever left must be the solution, the end." Ugh, Holmes, with rubbish like that, you should give up crime detection altogether and become a beekeeper.
Do you really think so? Perhaps I will. Someday.
Holmes, Holmes, Holmes. How I've stuck it out in the same digs with you for as long as I have, I'll never know.
I'm detecting a hint of hostility on your part, Watson. You've never told me this before.
I have tried to tolerate you keeping me awake until the small hours of the morning with your so-called experiments. The one with the rubber doll of Professor Moriarty was vulgar. But your use of wild disguises to track down criminals has been too much for one man to bear. Why, I remember one time you managed to disguise yourself as one of those fire plugs. I was amazed.
So was the canine that unmasked me.
Then I remember the evening you disguised yourself as one of those ladies of the evening in order to attempt to nab Jack the Ripper in the act. It was unfortunate that your little guise did not work. I could have told you, harlots never wear deerstalker hats.
Oh, I wouldn't say the ruse was a complete failure. While dressed as a strumpet, I did end up making £5 from a very friendly, if nearsighted, old gentleman I met in Hyde Park.
And that's another thing, Holmes. You spend more time studying tobacco ash than you do studying women. Why, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear that you were a...
The old gentleman still writes to me, but I prefer to remain a part-time detective. I'm too old to get a new line of work now. Although I suppose I could see him on holiday.
Then you are a... You are a...
Yes, Watson, I am a... I am a terribly fond person of tobacco ash. Who is it?
It's winsome, engaging, endearing Mrs. Hudson.
How do I know?
Because I feel winsome, engaging, and endearing this evening.
How do I know you're really Mrs. Hudson? How do I know you're not my arch adversary, Professor Moriarty?
Because you put an end to his miserable life last week.
Oh. Come in.
I have brought you gentlemen your mail this evening.
Better dilatory than on no occasion. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. You see, Holmes, your lame deduction was erroneous.
Well, it was only a 7% solution.
And why do you insist on bringing your drug formulas into the conversation?
It's a habit.
We'll discuss that later.
I've got to be telling you. I've been reading your books, Dr. Watson. You're making a fine name for yourself. From the first time you came to see me about renting rooms, I knew you'd be somebody. A rap at the door, and there ye stood. Standing next to you was this oddball. Sherlock Holmes, you said his name was. You dropped a name you could have held on to, for all it mattered to the world. Whatever happened to that one?
He's standing right beside you.
Oh, is that who that is? Without me glasses, I thought you had one of those cigar store Indians standing in the middle of your sitting room.
Watson, she just insulted me.
Don't take it to heart, dear fellow. Age makes the mind go, and she's not getting any younger.
She wasn't getting any younger 3 years before I moved in.
She wasn't getting any at all. Ah, nice pair of slippers you got there, Mr. Holmes. Where'd you pick them up in? A tobacco store? And you, Dr. Watson. My son Leon, the writer. You promised to look at his novel.
I did. It was pornographic. Excellent. But pornographic.
So why didn't you find him a publisher?
Frankly, it was too well written. It might have become a classic. My ego got in the way. I was jealous. My only claim to fame has been writing about Big Nose here. 10 years with a psychiatrist, and I'm still suicidal.
Big Nose?
Suicidal, are you? Why be a do-it-yourselfer? Call on Jack the Ripper. I hear tell he can cut himself up 16 drabs and still get a clean, close shave.
Big Nose?
There must be a reason why you're not going back downstairs, Mrs. Hudson.
There is indeed. I want to be telling you how much I've been enjoying your dust jackets.
You mean his books?
What are you, an interpreter?
You've got a way with a quill, Dr. Watson. I can't deny it. Your sagacious syllables jump off the page and into me mouth. And then I roll them around a bit. Taste every colorful consonant. Savor every venerable verb and noteworthy noun.
Please, Mrs. Hudson, my blushes.
Your words melt in me Irish mouth like plum pudding kept at room temperature.
My, but you are in an extremely jolly mood tonight, Mrs. Hudson. Why, man, I never heard you pay my writing any compliments before.
What do you mean I have a big nose, Watson?
Not now, Holmes. Mrs. Hudson is giving her expert estimation of my work. Dear Mrs. Hudson, sit down and rest your tired ankles. Now, about my books. Continue, please.
Well, since you've asked, I do have one tiny bit of criticism.
Go right ahead.
Well, I've read two of your pieces recently, and to my mind they seem to contradict each other.
What?
There is a definite lack of continuity.
Explain, please.
Well, you, by your own account, were shot in both the arm and the leg at the same time by the same bullet.
Remarkable achievement, Watson. Were you practicing yoga at the time?
Not quite, you booby. I made a mistake, if you must know, and now you do.
A mistake?
In the one piece I wrote, I wrote about a leg wound I had received. And in the other, I forgot and changed it to an arm wound, all right.
Don't you know where your wound is, Watson?
I don't have a wound, you mental midget. I was merely using dramatic license for effect.
And what is dramatic license?
Dramatic license is, well, for example, how I describe you in my books. As a genius. A man of note. A super sleuth. Even the world's greatest detective.
Well, if I'd have known that all that was going to be flying about, I wouldn't have worn me white dress.
When in truth, Holmes, you are unkempt, unshaven, a truly crummy individual who'd be sleeping on a bench in Hyde Park if it wasn't for my literary ventures. Those very ventures that have made you a living legend. And why? Not because of your deductive powers. Oh, no. Because of me, Holmes. Me and my special ability, natural gift, faculty, facility, endowment, aptitude, capacity, proficiency, skill, knack, flair, turn, forte.
Well, now, being talked to death is a terrible way to go. And you two gentlemen have one foot each in the ground. So, I must be going.
I don't see why you stayed as long as you did.
Oh, and what happened to dear Mrs. Hudson? Sit down and rest your tired ankles.
That was before your crass critique of my continuity.
Oh, no. You're not going to be getting me perturbed this time. By the way, your rent goes up tomorrow. Good night, Dr. Watkins.
That's... Watson. So, Holmes, why didn't you tell me that you finally managed to do in Moriarty?
It didn't seem important.
Not important? Do you realize I can finally put something in one of my books that actually happened? Holmes brutally kills Professor Moriarty. Yes, this is such a, this is the racy stuff that a vain adventure needed.
I wouldn't. I couldn't brutally kill anyone. I simply was trying to put him behind well-deserved bars, and we had a little accident.
What sort of accident?
Well, I was hiding in the professor's penthouse office, disguised as a fern.
A fern?
Yes.
And where was I while you were playing houseplant?
That was the day I sent you to Brompton to get some samples for my next experiment.
Oh, yes. I remember. I spent the entire day with a spoon scraping clay off of Vagrant's boots.
So there I was in Moriarty's office.
Dressed like a fern.
Yes. And the contemptible cur walks in, sits down, takes out a map, and proceeds to begin plotting his next nefarious crime.
Yes.
I let him write for a while, thinking that his own scribblings could later be used as evidence against him. And then... Then he got up and watered me.
Watered you?
Yes, it was awful. I just stood there dripping. Everything would have been fine if I hadn't made one mistake.
Which was what?
I sneezed. Well, I couldn't help myself. Standing there in soaked clothing, I caught cold.
Get to the good part already, where you do the malicious miscreant in.
Now, picture this, Watson. I sneeze. He leaps to his feet and says, "All right, Mr. Holmes, you may dry off now." Then I say, stepping out of a pot of dirt, "Hello, Moriarty. How's every little thing?" And he says...
Make a long story interminable...
What?
Get to the point!
Well, I tell him how I am going to arrest him, and he tells me to stand clear or be trodden underfoot.
Yes.
And I say I will not, and he runs toward me, arms in a strangling position.
Yes, yes.
But before he reaches me, he slips on a puddle of water made by my wet greatcoat and proceeds to slide past his desk and right out the window, without even bothering to open it.
And you didn't call in Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard?
What? And let him take all the credit?
Well, how does Mrs. Hudson know about this?
Well, it was all in the papers, Watson, the very next day.
I wouldn't know. I spent the night in the clink. Some officer saw me on my knees spooning clay off a bum's boot and mistook me for one of those cruddy kind. What did the papers say about you, Holmes?
Oh, I prefer to remain anonymous in case there was any doubt of my intention.
Yes, but Mrs. Hudson knew you did it.
It was a natural assumption on her part. She has caught me many times playing with my Moriarty voodoo doll.
Leave it to you to come up with these crazy excuses. I should have known better than to even ask. But that hat you wear, it only proves that you never know whether you're coming or going.
Is there anything else about me that bothers you, Watson?
Well, I might as well say it all. You never, ever send your greatcoat out to be cleaned. It just stands there by itself in the corner. And when I sneeze, it sags to the floor. You did an invaluable service to all of mankind by ridding the world of Moriarty's evil doings, Holmes. More than you will ever realize. In all fairness, Holmes, there is probably a thing or two about me that you don't like.
No, I always thought you were a jolly chap.
No complaints.
I can't think of one.
Well, I will not retract my reciting of this justified frustration. But I will derive no satisfaction from it either.
In other words,
you have taken all the fun out of being mad at you. So, I think I'll go read the mail and sulk. Let's see. Here's a letter from Bert Stover's lawyer. He's suing you for killing his cat, Teresa, remember?
I remember.
Here's my royalty check from William Gillette for the play he wrote about us.
Royalty check?
Yes. And here's a letter for you, Holmes.
Royalty check?
Yes, from your old flame, yes.
You never told me about a royalty check.
Your old flame, Irene Adler, you remember?
Oh, open it for me, please, Watson.
Don't you like women?
I like tobacco ash.
Oh, yes, I've noticed. It is a very peculiar habit, Holmes. Your fondness for cigars and pipes is an oral fixation, Holmes.
Rubbish. Sigmund Freud once said, a cigar is a good smoke.
Oh, yes, it is. But not two at a time.
Why would Irene be writing me? She married money.
Wrong. She married a chap with money.
Whatever.
Now, let me see. Dear Shirley. Dear Shirley. Dear Shirley, all that I have to say has already crossed your mind, and your answer has already crossed mine. Well, that's a double cross if I ever heard one. My husband has met with foul play, and I wish to see you concerning his death.
Me? Why me? Shouldn't she see an undertaker?
She doesn't want you to bury him, you ninny. She wants you to solve his murder. It's obvious.
When will she be here?
The letter says, arriving at Baker Street, London, on the 28th of February.
Oh, if I'm going to solve a crime, I'll need time to prepare. Mentally. Where's my violin? Where's my spoon?
No time to prepare, Holmes. Today was the 28th of February. She'll be here tonight.
Would you like some?
Holmes, get control of yourself, man!
You're right, Watson. I'm being foolish. There's not enough here for both of us anyway.
You've got the lady waiting downstairs to see you two. Should I send her up?
Yes, Mrs. Hudson. She's an old flame of Holmes here.
Oh, I didn't know himself went in for that sort of thing. Old flame, is she? Well, it looks to me as though her pilot light has been out for years.
Well, maybe I'll just have to rekindle the fire.
Holmes, I thought you would have...
A change of pace is good for the digestion, Watson.
Speaking of digestion, or indigestion, Mrs. Hudson, your beef and kidney stew was a bit, tainted tonight. It had been repeating on me like one of Holmes' violin practices.
That wasn't beef and kidney stew you ate. It was me cat's supper. I left it by the hall window to cool, and I wasn't gone more than 5 minutes when it disappeared.
That was the cat's supper? I thought you left it for us, Mrs. Hudson, so I brought it upstairs. Watson and I ate it.
This is disgusting.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a total loss. Me cat loved your beef and kidney stew.
Well, I'm glad someone ate well this evening. Would you please send that woman up now?
Here, you! The one with the tacky makeup! Get on up here!
You can use the little makeup yourself, Mum.
I'll be going now!
Hello?
Here, sit down, Irene. I'll get you a towel. You're drenched.
Sherlock, you're looking well, you are.
Hello?
Who's this?
He's Sherlock.
He's my Sherlock?
Yes.
Why is there smoke coming out of his slippers, then?
Don't ask.
Who are you?
I am his humble friend, companion, and biographer, Dr. John H. Watson.
Hello, Irene.
Are you sure you're my Shirley?
Yes, Sherlock Holmes. Detective, logician, master of all evildoers, masculine pipe smoker.
Inadvertent violinist.
And a real swell guy.
I remember you being a bit easier on the eyes in the old days. And more well-proportioned, well-arranged, like Dr. Watson here.
Well, I didn't shave today.
Oh, yesterday.
Sherlock, it is good to see you.
It's good to see you too, Irene. I mean, it has made me realize many things that, I mean, of course, I am referring as all the hapless, hopeless romantics among us who are well aware in our secret and heartfelt understanding of undying love and devotion as experienced
by... Enough already! Irene, please enlighten us as to the facts of your case.
Well, I was out for a bit of a walk last Wednesday, and upon my return finds me husband, lying dead on the side of the road, having fallen from our penthouse. A crowd of people gathered, a bobby or three strolled over, and then I see the back of a fella creeping round the corner, sort of like making his getaway.
Was there any...
Let me handle this, Watson. I like this new deduction game.
Very well, Holmes.
Oh, goody. But was there anything unusual about the man you saw?
Well, he was wearing a wet greatcoat and left the trail of fern leaves behind him.
Really? Funnily enough...
Holmes, I don't...
I am merely going to write those clues on my blackboard.
All right.
Wet, great coat and fern leaves. Penthouse, window, last Wednesday. There.
I think that you should not take this case home.
Nonsense, Watson. This is fun. Wet greatcoat, fern leaves. Irene, what was your husband's name?
Professor James Moriarty. He was in the greeting card business, or at least that's what he told me.
Moriarty? Well, then I know the identity of your husband's murderer, Irene. It was...
Holmes, don't!
But, Watson, it is my duty. Besides, you said yourself what a great thing I did.
Try explaining that to the police.
The person who murdered your husband was...
Come in.
Whew. Ah, your gentleman got a little boy to see you.
If it's Billy the Page Boy, tell him that he'll be in my next book.
Says his name's Basil.
Basil?
Well, you might as well send him up, Mrs. Hudson.
Basil?
All right, you asked for it. Here, you, boy, get on up here and bring your nose with you.
Mr. Holmes?
I am Dr. Watson.
Oh, Mr. Holmes? No, try again. Mr. Holmes?
That's me.
I'd know you anywhere, Mr. Holmes, even if with those pipes on your feet.
What do you want, boy?
I am your biggest...
Not me. Him over there.
Oh, I am your biggest fan, Mr. Holmes. It is my dream to one day play you on stage.
No ambition, eh?
Well, I'm flattered. Basil, if you're going to play me, you had better get your nose fixed. Why, that's the largest nose I've ever seen.
Look in the mirror sometime.
Could I have your autograph, sir?
I'd be honored. With best regard from Sherlock Holmes, to my dear friend, Basil. What's your last name, dear Basil?
Rathbone, sir.
Basil Rathbone. There you are, boy.
Thank you, sir. I shall treasure it all my life.
Ah, my public. Now, as to the murderer of your husband...
Are you sure you want to go through with this?
The murderer was... me.
You!
That's right. I killed Professor Moriarty. Get the handcuffs, Watson. I'm under arrest.
I've been looking for the person who killed my James. Because I want to thank you.
Thank?
I've been trying to get up enough nerve to do him in for years. The bloke was cheating on me.
You mean I'm not in any trouble?
On the contrary. A big fat reward is coming your way.
Bert Stover and his dead cat will be happy to hear that.
Dead cat?
Forget it. That was our last adventure.
Oh, Irene, seeing you again this whole evening, it's been like a fairy tale. It's so gay. Well, is there anything you'd like to say? Say to me, dear Irene.
Yeah, look, when you want to go straight, trap me a card.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of Sherlock Holmes Gets Out of Trouble, written by Joe Bevilacqua and Dawes Butler, and produced and directed by Joe Bevilacqua. As Sherlock Holmes, you heard Peter Cummings. Dr. Watson and Mrs. Hudson were portrayed by Joe Bevilacqua, and Irene Adler and young Basil were played by Kathy Tully. This is your announcer, Joe Bev, asking you to stay tuned. There's more of the Comedy-O-Rama Hour right after this.
production.
Comedy-O-Rama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Who else? Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.